me your heart, give me your song, sing it with all your might. Come to the fountain and you can be satisfied. There is a peace, there is a love you can get lost inside. Come to the fountain and let me hear you testify. Into the wild canyons of you, oh, there's a world to fall into. Weightless we'll dance like kids on the moon. Oh, I will give myself to you as soon as you start to let go. Give me your heart, give me your song, sing it with me.
Welcome. That was Testify from Need to Breathe. Come to the fountain. Come to the fountain of living water. I'm Katharina Vidi, and this is Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, everyone, for being here, for listening, for the guest speakers. Welcome. Good morning. Let's wake up to...
Jesus is on the air.
Yes, let's listen up, everybody.
Beautiful Saturday morning.
Yes. A wonderful Saturday morning, even though it's gray outside.
Yes, yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy. And I just want to let you know that we love you and God loves you. And our call-in number today is 631-888-8811. And if you would like to text in questions or anything, our text-in number is 516-784-6081. We'd love to hear from you. And, yeah, so Without further ado, I'll introduce our guests. We have Carol Rubano. She's the director of Living Waters Catholic Counseling Center in Melville. She's a licensed social worker, right?
Yeah, and an alcoholism counselor, too.
Oh, okay. Great. For many years, you've been working with all different clients, and she's wonderful. And I can never say enough about that counseling center. It's really God's work of healing just flowing through there.
And thank you, Katerina. Thank you. Yes, yeah. It's been an honor and a privilege to be part to start Living Waters.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't easy, but you know, it's growing, and slowly for surely it's coming. And
well,
it's
we're in existence 17 years already. 17 years.
Yeah, wow. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's a lot of years.
Yes. Amen. We got to celebrate.
A lot of people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have. Walk through our doors, and God willing, the difference in our center than in a lot of different places is we try and bring God's healing to the people. It's regular counseling, licensed and professional counseling. We're all professional people working there. However, we all believe in the Lord as the healer who heals hearts and creates a clean heart in them, which brings us to inner healing.
Yes, that is our topic for today. And just before we start, we also have Megan and Brian here.
Hello, everyone.
Good morning.
Yes, welcome. And yes, so inner healing is our topic today. And Carol, how would you like to start? I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'd like to start with something from Psalm 51, okay?
Mm-hmm, sure.
All right. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will return to you. Basically, that's what inner healing is about. Inner healing is about changing what's going on inside of us, the mind, the emotions, the painful memories, the dreams, mind, body, spirit. It's a holistic approach to healing. And that can only be done because grace builds on nature. So what the counseling center is about is clearing away nature so that grace can build and that inner healing can take place. And that's what it's all about, the wholeness, the mind, the body, and the spirit coming together. And it is a remarkable, remarkable transition into a new life. The life that Jesus, the life that the Lord wanted for us to begin with, the life that we need to claim that gets cluttered by all the garbage that happens and keeps mm-hmm. us bound up in the spirit.
And when you say garbage and like clearing out nature, does that mean like unforgiveness towards people, anger and those kinds of things?
Yeah, it really, in order to clear it out, forgiveness has to be a big part of it, because in order to get a clean heart, we have to forgive others so that we can be forgiven. And then I know we're going to talk about the mercy of the Lord, which is because it's Divine Mercy Sunday tomorrow. God is very merciful. And so if we want mercy, we have to be able to also extend mercy to others, which is very hard to do. Yeah, the garbage would be, we are an emotional being. Emotions get set into us from our childhood, believe it or not. And there are five basic emotions from which all the other emotions are really come from. Does anybody know the five emotions? Anybody want to try to guess?
Let me see. Sadness, happiness, anger. That's three.
You're doing good.
Okay, yes.
two more. Come
yes,
on. You can do it.
I know. I'm trying to think,
wait,
too.
Sadness, anger, happiness.
Maybe frustration? Is that one?
No, it's a root. So, like, when I say a root, it's like, it's the five emotions that other emotions spin off from.
Right.
So frustration would be, it's like the primary colors, red, yellow, and blue
right.
are primary colors, and then
right.
all the colors of the rainbow
mm-hmm.
come from those colors. So you're on target.
Okay.
In other words, sadness or grief.
Mm.
Okay.
Right.
And that, there's different parts to that. And happiness is really love. Okay, the love. Then we have anger, and we have jealousy, which is a tough one because most people will not admit they're jealous. They'll cover it up with different things.
I think it's a very common characteristic.
Nobody wants to admit
it. But no one wants to admit it, though. Yes.
I'm angry with them. I'm sad about them.
No one will ever say they're jealous.
That's very common.
And trust me, if you think that's hard, very few people will say, I am really envious. I won't go to that place, But that really, Cain and Abel, the reason that one was killed is because of jealousy, envy. And then the last one is fear. That's big, right?
Yes, they're big. Definitely.
So those are your five basic emotions. And from those emotions, all the other emotions spin off. And emotions are set into us by that they start at as soon as we're born till about age six. Basically, how we do relationships is based upon the first 6 years of our life, believe it or not.
Oh,
wow.
That's interesting. That's something I didn't know.
Really? Isn't that an amazing thing?
Yeah.
So what inner healing does is try and work through those emotions in order to bring us to greater peace.
Right.
Greater peace. Because think about it. If you're jealous with someone, how are you going to relate to that person? How could you really love that person?
Right. Yep.
I mean, have you had experience of jealousy? Any of you?
Anybody? Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm sure we've all have at one point or another.
Yeah. And it's really very difficult. And first of all, it's admitting the jealousy, right? Admitting it. And then another part is most of the time, emotions are layered. You have a top emotion. For example, someone would come in with fear or anxiety. And they come in with that fear and that anxiety. And then underneath it, it might be fear and anxiety of doing something. But underneath that fear, say a simple thing like going on a plane. Okay, I'm frightened of going on a plane. But really, what they're frightened about also is they're angry that they can't go on the plane. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's another emotion.
Because it's like blocking them from doing, kind of, you know what I mean? It's getting in the way.
Yeah, it's getting in the way of doing something.
Right, that they really want to do.
Right, and they want to join the rest of the world by flying around.
Right, and they want to go to that destination that they really want to go to and experience, and they have this blockage that's, because I can relate to that too. I've been on two. I'm almost 25, and I've only been on two airplanes.
Oh, how did I pick that one? How did the Holy Spirit pick that one?
I know. So, but I've been on two airplanes. The first time it was, of course, you know, I didn't go far. I didn't travel far, but of course there was that anxiety, that fear, and of course I was able to do it. And prior to going on the plane, that's when I was the most anxious. But then once I was on the plane, and maybe like, you know, midway or, you know, starting into the trip, I was more calm because I was there. And, you know, I tried to just keep calm. And then before you know it, I was already at my destination. But it was more the anxiety for me was prior to going on the plane.
And did you feel the anger underneath the anxiety?
A little bit. Yeah, I mean, because I knew that I really want to go to wherever I was going. Like, I don't want to let this fear, these thoughts prevent me from going. Even last summer, too, I went away, and I really, you know, we went away to Vegas, and I was like, I want to go to Vegas so bad, and I'm not going to, I don't want to let this this plane prevent me from going. And so I knew that, okay, because if I don't go because of that reason, I'm going to look back on it and be like, what was wrong with me, you know? So,
yeah, and you're very fortunate, though. You allowed this part of the front part of your brain, which is the thinking part of your brain, to overcome the back part of the brain, which is the feelings part, to move forward and do what you needed to do.
Right.
Some people can't do that. They really get stuck.
They really get stuck, and part of me knew that I just need to just do it, just, you know, even though prior I was feeling it. But once I was on the plane and there, I was a little more calm. But then I would get a little anxious, especially when there was turbulence, and I would get, like, that feeling again, okay, what's going on? Like, is this normal? And then when the turbulence would go away, then I was like, okay, mm-hmm. Okay, we're good, we're okay, we're almost there, you know.
But right, I was just gonna mention, I think that's important, Carol, what you said, allowing yourself to feel emotions, mm-hmm. and that knowing that your emotions don't define if you're a bad person or a good person, that we're just human and we have them. It's important to allow ourselves to feel them in order for that healing to take place.
Absolutely. There's a saying, you have to feel it to heal it.
Oh, okay.
There you go. I like that saying.
Feel it to heal it. But at the same token, yes, we have our emotions because we are human, but the important thing as adults, we can't allow our emotions to rule us, because if we allow our emotions to rule us, then we're going to have chaos, because that's
right.
Children, little kids allow their emotions to rule them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So it's that balance between feeling it to healing it, and then mm-hmm. also allowing our and pinpointing perhaps why we're feeling a certain way, and then moving through it.
Right.
Like, I don't want to use you as a test case.
No, it's okay.
But underneath, Marissa, underneath the fear.
Right.
Were you able to pinpoint what's that about, the fear, the anxiety about the plane?
Like why I was fearing, well, I had different fears regarding the plane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the fact that you're thousands of feet up in the air. Just the concept of being up in the, it's different than being in a car, like, because if something were to happen, I feel like you're in a little bit more, I don't know, I felt like you're in more control when you're in a vehicle.
Ah,
because you're
there
on,
you go.
Because you're yeah. on the ground.
There
when
you go.
When you're in a plane, even the train too, it's fine, like I'm more, you know, and, but the plane, just the concept of being on a plane, just, because you're,
yeah, no,
you know
got
what
it.
I'm, yeah. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I also have other, you know, fears of, like, you know, who knows who's on the plane with you. But I know security now has been really good. So when I see the thorough, you know, bag searching and everything, I feel like they definitely have upped their security. So when I see that, that's like reassurement. Okay, like they're, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're
mm-hmm.
on top of who's entering, going on this plane. Mm-hmm. So that's another. So just the plane being up in the air, and, you know, what if something happens, like with the plane, the engine, or whatever the case may be, and then who's on this plane, like, you know, we don't know, and who knows what they have on, you know what I mean? So those are the two primary...
How you give it to yourself.
How I look at why I'm fearing of
right.
going on
okay.
the plane.
And
so there's
right.
reasons. There's, okay, well, this could happen, and this could happen.
And that the chief one is the out of control.
Right.
But the reality is some people won't ride in a car. They need to drive because they're frightened. They're out of control, right?
Right, or they want to be exactly. in control, right.
Right, mm-hmm. So it's that. So what you're really saying, it's the fear of the unknown, the
right.
fear of what could happen. Brian, are you frightened of planes?
Not so much. not so much planes.
You have another one.
So it's good that we went on the plane together.
Okay.
And I went with my parents the first time. So the first time, definitely I'm glad I was with my parents, of course. Like, if I went by myself, that would have been mm-hmm. a little challenging.
Right.
No, but for me, I mean, not so much planes, but when I was younger, it was, you know, going on roller coasters that went upside down.
Oh, right,
oh, okay.
Yes.
Because you're going to fall out.
Right.
I still have the same fear. Yeah. But I've gone on them, and I still go on them. I've gone on these rides, but that fear is always in my head prior to it. But yet, I'm still going to go, because I'm trying to not let it, like,
affect you. No, exactly.
Right.
But
it's
still
it.
There, but I still do it. I don't mm-hmm, know. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Yeah, for me, it just started at a very young age. Like, anytime, whether you went to Six Flags or Disney World, like, I just refused to go on any ride that would go upside down. And, yeah, it was that fear of getting stuck on the ride upside down, or just getting stuck on the ride in general.
Mm-hmm. Or just mm-hmm. some, yeah, mechanical
or just not feeling well
problem.
After coming off the ride, and it was stopping me from enjoying my time with my friends and
right.
family, whether it was in Six Flags or Disney World. And I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? Why am mm-hmm. I fearing of going on a ride? I know I'm safe. I know I'm secure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was just like, why am I doing this? And then one day I just built up the strength and just said, you know what? I'm going to do it. We mm-hmm. were in Six Flags. And if anyone here has been Six Flags, I know Batman the Ride is the best ride there. We can have the argument with anybody, but it's my favorite ride there. I built up the strength to go on it, and I went on pretty much like 5 times in a row after that.
Yeah, it's once going through it, that first time of going through, and once you're finally able to rationalize your fear, because fear technically is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real.
Right.
You know, so it's the way we think about it, the way we...
Right.
Now, fear is... Any of the emotions are based upon past memories. So one of the things that we are born with, one of the primal fears we have is fear of falling as a baby, believe it or not, and loud noises. Those are the only two fears we're born with.
Okay.
The rest of them we do get because of the way we're thinking or the way an experience happened in our lives that caused us to get stuck. Mm-hmm. So the Lord, when he wants to do inner healing, he's... wants to give us the gift of peace, the gift of peace of mind and heart. And that's very hard to do when these emotions clog us up. Emotions clog us up. Whether they be extreme anger about someone. And really, really, you know, if you go through life, you're going to have anger at people because people are going to, sometimes intentionally and not intentionally, do things
to hurt you.
Basically, the root of anger is that someone is going into your space and doing something to you that you don't want done.
Right. Yep.
They're stepping on your toes, in other words, right? So, if we go to, like, St. John Paul II, right? He was shot. He was shot. And... he was very, very wounded when he was shot. Right, he almost died. They missed his internal organs, but it did profoundly affect his health. The shooting, and yet he was able to transcend the anger and go into the forgiveness of the person who shot him. That's the big picture that we see of John Paul in prison, hugging the person who shot him. Right, that's tough. Isn't that tough to do that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
That's very tough. But yet, he wanted to do that because in his heart, he had in his heart that inner healing, because he took the words of Christ, which are, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, right? So how are we going to get forgiven if we can't forgive someone else? And I'm sure in our lives, we have people that we find it's difficult to forgive, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
But he took that, and he was strong enough to let that divine word of the Lord sink into his body, mind, and spirit and embrace the person who caused him great harm. And that is a saint for you. But every time we say the Our Father, we're asked to do that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
How we're asked to do that every time we say the Our Father. So... he was greatly wounded, but he forgave. And in order to heal, we need to forgive the people who have hurt us. And I think if we all look back, we will have people who intentionally or unintentionally have hurt us. And that's a hard place to go to, forgiveness. That's a hard place to go to.
I was just going to mention, that reminded me, I was driving in the car, and... the Holy Spirit really helps you to, if you want to know who you need to forgive or you want to take that next step, sometimes you could just ask. And then, I mean, for me, it happened the other day and somebody's like face came to mind and I was like, oh my gosh, like I didn't know that I had that pent up anger like inside of me. It was like deep down or buried deep down from the past years, something could have happened years ago and I kind of buried it and then it came up. So I think that God really does want to heal us if we allow him to, and to be conscious of it, like you said, to not let it rule you, but to kind of keep moving forward. And
yeah, he does want to heal us, because otherwise we can't have that clean heart or that pure heart, you know. And you're right on target. The memories, the present moment holds within it all the pain of past experiences. So if you're really feeling an intensity of feeling, say instead of anger, you're really angry or really rageful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not the person or the thing that's right before you that's causing that, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the other times in your life when you haven't, and probably there's a root time mm-hmm. when you were not able to express that anger and that pain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really an amazing journey. Therapy as well as inner healing is an amazing journey. And how God uses that. He asks us to go back into the memories, and that's what inner healing is about. Go back into the memories, and we can't redo the memory, but we can see it from a different perspective if we bring Jesus there, or if we bring Mary there, or the angels, or the mm-hmm. saints there. And that's what the therapy is about. Most mm-hmm. therapists, the big thing now is post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at the three of you, you would probably say to me, I had no post-traumatic stress disorder. And what I'm going to say to you is, well, believe it or not, there might have been one little thing from your past mm-hmm. that was a small t that caused you to be stuck on something and be kind of have the trauma of that. We all have it. It might have been a silly little thing, like being left at school.
Right.
Nobody
right.
picking you up at age 6 or something
right.
like that. But it's one of those stuck points.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like intentional or anything, but
mm-hmm.
and some of us do have intentional things that people have done to us that have caused us great pain, but we get stuck in those places,
mm-hmm.
you know. So Living Water Center is a conduit to bringing inner healing through using psychology, mm-hmm. bringing inner healing to people with prayer and psychology. And Living Waters is located on the property of St. Elizabeth's Church in Melville, 175 Wolf Hill Road, Melville. And it's real easy to find because it's right off exit 41 on the Northern mm-hmm. State. And we have a full service. We service in our place, believe it or not, we service people from age 5 to age 90.
Wow.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's such a beautiful place when you walk in. It's just so calming, and I love the couches, and it's just so homey, and you know, the waiting room has like the coffee and tea, and everyone is so nice. So I do recommend it. It's such a blessed place, and you do definitely feel healed afterwards, and it's a progression, you know. We are going to keep struggling. It's not that we go to therapy and we're totally healed of everything. It is a work in progress, mm-hmm. but it's definitely worth it. I would say.
Yeah, I agree. I think that in my own life, therapy and inner healing has brought me to places I've never even dreamed of.
Mm-hmm.
Never even dreamed of. Had I not had that, I would have been very stuck, very stuck. So we if you're interested, look on the internet at livingwaterscounseling.biz, B-I-Z, livingwaterscounseling.biz, B-I-Z, or call us at 631-754-3990, 754-3990.
And you could always reach out to me as well. And our website, listen-up.net, we also have a link for Living Waters, and you could reach me or text me right now if you have a question for Carol or for anyone. Our telephone number is 631-888-8811, or you could text 516-784-6081. And I also wanted to mention two quick announcements. So tomorrow is Divine Mercy Sunday, and I kind of wanted to transition just a little bit
mm-hmm.
and speak about what is the Divine Mercy. And I know Carol mentioned it before, so it's Jesus, it's a painting of Jesus. And what it is our Lord in February 22nd, 1931, our Lord appeared to St. Faustina and said, "Paint my image according to what you see. Jesus, I trust in you." And the image is Jesus with two rays going forth from his chest. And the pale ray stands for water, which makes souls righteous. The red ray stands for the blood, which is the life of souls. These rays issued forth from the depths of my tender mercy when my agonized heart was opened by a lance on the cross. And I think that's a beautiful image to remember. And I just thought of the opening song today was Come to the Fountain. And the Lord wants to remind us that his mercy and his heart is flowed living water and blood, even like from himself. Not even from like a rock or anything. It's literally himself. He's literally the fountain and literally the source of life. And I think that's just such a great reminder for us that whoever is in need of healing, the Lord just is there for you and loves you. And at the bottom it says, Jesus, I trust in you. And I think a lot of times we don't trust, or we it's probably human too, and you think of the scriptures and you think of the disciples, how many times they were fearful or doubted, and Jesus was right there in front of them. Mm-hmm. Like Peter walking on the water, that was and then he started to doubt, and Jesus caught him and said, why did you doubt? So I think this image is really great and reminds us to trust in him, and he'll be there with us. And also too is it says here that I promise from the diary of Saint Faustina. So Saint Faust, Jesus appeared to Saint Faustina in a series of visions, and she wrote these meetings in her diary, and which can be purchased and available. And one of the quotes Jesus said to her was, I promise that the soul that will venerate this image will not perish. I also promise victory over its enemies already here on earth, especially at the hour of death. I myself will defend it as my own glory. And that's so beautiful. And it says, let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. No one have I excluded. So that's great. And I also wanted to mention there's an event coming up at St. Catherine of Siena Church, the Message of Divine Mercy, a day of healing and prayer conducted by Paul Miller, which is on Saturday, May 27th from 9 to 3:30 at St. Catherine of Siena Church in Franklin Square. And Paul Miller is a man of, he has a healing ministry, and he's really very blessed by the Lord, and there will be talks and prayovers, and $50 includes breakfast and lunch, and I attended one of these, and it's really amazing. It was really a place of healing for me. He prayed over me, and there was a Blessed Sacrament exposed, and really the Lord working through him to heal some fears or something that I was regretting in my life, and I felt like the Lord just smiled at me and forgave me, and it was a very cleansing feeling. So that is an event to attend. I recommend if you're free that day, Saturday, 9 to 3:30. And for more information, you can reach out to me as well.
And Brother Paul Miller is also going to be at Living Waters on June 24th.
Ooh.
What I find is psychology can take you so far. And at Living Waters, we also pray with the people who come, if they're open to it. We're open to all people. You don't have to be Catholic to come, mm-hmm. or Christian even. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have people of all faiths or no faith coming to Living Waters. We're, you know, we're embracing to all. All are welcome. But one person I did have who was caught up in his anxiety and in his fear. He was just caught up in a vicious cycle, doing the same thing. None of us could relate to that, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. We can't relate to that, can we?
No. Right. No. Yeah. No.
Well, anyway, he was caught into it. And, you know, all the psychological interventions that were done to clear away nature needed to be cemented in by prayer. And so I asked him to go. Brother Paul, who is the spiritual son of Maria Esperanza, Blessed Maria Esperanza, who's the spiritual daughter of Saint Padre Pio, asked him to go to Brother Paul's Center of Divine Mercy in New Jersey to be prayed with, and I can't tell you how much this person has really grown. So, you know, it's we're mind, body, and spirit. We can do so much with the mind. We can talk ourselves into anything. But the true healing and the freedom comes when we really are set free. And what we're set free from, if you really want to go to another level, is the devil's bondage, Satan's bondage. Because the devil would like us to be very bound up so we can't be free and joyous and peaceful. And the world would like us to be very bound up. So, you know, if it feels good, do it. Well, that's not true. That's not true. Because there are consequences to everything we do.
Absolutely.
Consequences. And, you know, just because it might feel good for the moment doesn't mean it's going to feel good in 3 hours.
Right.
Know? So the healing has to happen in order that we become whole and we become, stay whole. Not only become, but stay, you know. So that's part of the journey, really allowing ourselves to be set free from the bondage.
When you said spiritual son and spiritual son of Maria Esperanza, and she's the spiritual daughter of Saint Padre Pio, what is that an adopted son, or what does that mean? I'm just curious.
To me, it means that this, well, from what I know, the person, Padre Pio, was asked by the Lord to pass on his gift to Maria Esperanza. Padre Pio had tremendous gifts. And Maria Esperanza was asked to allow Paul Miller to receive her gift that was passed on. So it's
great gifts of healing.
Great gifts of healing and not only healing, but Padre Pio actually bilocated, right?
He could be in two places at once.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot that. That's pretty cool.
That's beyond cool. That's pretty extra.
That's out of this world.
That goes beyond the realm of human.
Being human. Yeah, he had the stigmata too.
Yeah.
That is definitely to come to this this healing by him. That's definitely amazing. So, amen.
Yeah, amen is right. Amen. So there are people walking around in this world that really do have healing gifts and for inner healing. So in inner healing, we ask Jesus to walk back into our past and heal every hurt, to take that spiritual eraser and wipe away every painful memory. And that doesn't mean that we have to go in there and like really stir it up, as much as it means we have to feel it in order to heal it, like you were saying, Katarina. It has to be felt to heal.
I saw that you have, Carol, an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and I know she's the patroness of the Americas. Do you want to mention a little bit about that, or what comes to mind? For me, I know that going to Mary is a great source of she always brings us to her son Jesus, but I know that there's some questions and some people are confused about Mary and stuff. Did you want to mention
Mary's life is an example of doing God's will. Mary's life is an example of having done to her what a human being couldn't have done to them. In other words, she conceived Jesus not through relationships with a man. That's unbelievable when you think about that. And that's what our faith teaches us. So Mary is very beloved by Jesus, by God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. She's very beloved. So oftentimes Mary appears on this earth at times to certain people. Usually they're people that are not of great prominence, actually. They're people that are very humble, many times very poor. Fatima, it was three children. In Guadalupe, it was Juan Diego, Saint Juan Diego, that Mary appeared to, who was just a poor, poor person. And she comes because she tries to give us hope. She tries to give us hope and that trust. You were talking about trusting Jesus, I trust in you. Well, it's easy to say, Jesus, I trust in you, but I think it is the hardest thing in the world to do. I mean, really the hardest thing in the world to do. And so Mary comes and tries to encourage us to stay close to her son, to pray the rosary, to pray the chaplet of divine mercy in order to bring others, people, closer to her son, closer to the word of the Lord, to the word of the Lord. So the reason it's hard to trust most of the time is faith is something that we just do. We just either believe or don't believe. But the reality is faith goes beyond what humanly is possible. And that's exactly what happened to Mary. What humanly was possible, Mary transcended. So it was her story is amazing, of one of trusting. She's the original truster in Jesus, isn't she? Jesus, yeah. I trust in you.
Mm-hmm.
She trusted the Lord. And then St. Joseph, who's her spouse, also went in there, and he, instead of doing what they would have done in those years, which is, first of all, she would have been stoned to death because they would have thought she had committed adultery. And not only that, she would have been ostracized. St. Joseph embraced her and believed that this was true.
Yeah.
Believed. That's an amazing story. How many of you would you know, if someone is healed, really healed of something? I personally know someone who was actually healed of cancer, miraculously. Now, how many times do you believe, well, like, that's a miraculous healing? I mean, it boggles the mind because it goes beyond what humanly is possible. It boggles surgeons and doctors' minds, too. They can't explain it. Oftentimes, they'll write, well, it's not explainable, right?
Yeah,
beyond,
you hear that.
Beyond human
right.
comprehension.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Beyond human comprehension. So that's what spirituality, that's what faith is. So you have different levels. You have the physical level of a human being. We start developing in our mother's womb, and then we go on from there, and we keep the most rapid growth for human beings is in the first year of life physically. And then we keep growing, and then at a certain point, believe it or not, right, as we get older, human life starts to decrease. Physicality starts to decrease. We're all over there trying to keep it going, right? Trying to keep it going.
Absolutely.
But the reality is it starts decreasing as we get older. We start losing some of the faculties that we have, and that's why cosmetics are so big now, right? The people going to try and fix their
surgery.
Face. Do this, do that. Hairs and teeth. And, you know, we're all trying to be getting old. Well, I hate to tell you, it's like taxes. It's going to happen.
Right.
It's going to happen. So that's the first part to develop.
Yes.
Then our emotional quadrant develops. Our emotional quadrant develops because we start seeing how people are reacting. And we begin to think we're the center of the universe, because if parents are fighting and a little kid comes into the room, like a two-year-old or something, and starts smiling and stuff, guess what they do? They stop fighting sometimes and start smiling. So then we begin to think, wow, I'm important, right? And then the intellectual part of us develops, the brain. They said age 7, but technically now, kids are learning real quick.
Yeah,
they are.
Especially, yeah, with all the technology.
Yeah, right?
Maybe
you know,
4 or 5 months
old or something, I see them on the
on the iPhone, the iPad, exactly.
9 months, that's a little early.
I saw it in a restaurant.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It was. It was a little early, but he was intrigued, so what could I tell you? I don't know what he had on it, but he was intrigued. So the intellectual. The spiritual component, which is what we're talking about, was faith. For most of us, technically the age when it starts developing is adolescence. Mm-hmm. But that's not, some of us have that connection with the Lord much quicker, but lots of times it doesn't develop anymore. It doesn't. It takes a long time. Like, that's not a place where people are really putting the emphasis many times. You know, Sundays, church is sports, no? Or the gym.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true.
I think it's great to have both, you know? You could have...
In balance.
Mm-hmm.
In balance. Yeah, I don't disagree. I'm not saying it's an either or.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All I'm saying, though, in a lot of places, it's pushed on the side, the going to church or really understanding. So what happens to us, we're kind of funny as human beings. This is the part I love about my job, just seeing how everybody goes through life. And believe it or not, everybody has a similarity of going through life, but also they have different ways of going about it, mm-hmm. too. It's very interesting. But as we grow older, or God, when should we become ill and start to go back to the Lord in the dying process? Like, you know, what happens is all the other quadrants leave. The only one that's left is the spiritual. The first to leave, believe it or not, is the physical when you're ill, right? Your physicality starts diminishing. And as I look here, I was very much a part of Dr. Chufo's and Dr. Palmer's radio show quite a few times, mm-hmm. and I could just see them sitting in this room, you know. But their physicality started to leave, mm-hmm. okay? Then when the physical leaves, the intellectual also leaves. Most of the time, the person is into the thinking. What gets more peaked is the emotional. A person who's often comes on their deathbed, they'll say, "Can you forgive me? I forgive you. I love you. Can you love me?" They don't care about any of the other things, like, "Oh, you didn't turn the coffee on. You didn't, you know, in the morning," or what the little things that people argue about or get angry about. And a lot of times, people who, you know, who haven't talked to somebody in 30 years, like two brothers who haven't talked in 30 years, might come and, you know, in the hospital on the deathbed and reconcile and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. So the emotional is peaked. But really what happens is the spiritual quadrant really develops unbelievably. So in the dying process, the person is sometimes on earth, but their spirit might already be transitioning into heaven or wherever they're going, you know, whatever the next transition is. So it's a transition that they go into. So this is the time when, you know, all the gym and all the sports and all that stuff disappear, and your spiritual muscles are really looked at.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know, the closer you are to God, mm-hmm. as you're moving along, right, and you develop your spiritual muscles, the easier that transition is for you. The easier that transition for you is. It's not frightening. It's a transition, just like birth, except we don't understand it. But it goes to another level. It goes to another level. So certain people, such as, and I'm spinning around a bit, but certain people like St. Juan Diego or St. Padre Pio, they were able to get into that spiritual realm while they were on earth, while they were very much in their body space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but for most of us, it's always that struggle between being human and yet being spiritual, mm-hmm. having a spirit.
Having the both come together in harmony. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just listening, and I like how you said that it's a transition. Sometimes we think, so death is not the end. It's new life, is what
Correct.
Jesus promised
right.
us. And
yes.
now we're celebrating Easter. We're celebrating Jesus conquering death, and that he is in the flesh in heaven, his resurrection and new life. So when someone dies, it's that belief that they're with the Lord in new life.
Yeah, they're in their glorified bodies, in glorified bodies. So what happens is people who are more into their spiritual can transcend that thin veil between heaven and earth. And they can experience things that are profoundly unhuman in the sense of going beyond the constrictions of having a body, going beyond it. Like if we were into a spiritual realm right now, I don't know who we might be seeing. If, mm-hmm. you know, Dr. Palmer, Dr. Chufo, angels, saints, whatever, people who have gone before us, or we don't know. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there.
That's
Does
so
it
cool.
mean that we can't connect, right? Does it mean that we can't, they're connected to us, we can connect with them too. So it's a really amazing thing. And so one of the things that happens with, we have the resurrection, Easter Sunday, and then the next Sunday, John Paul, when he was made Pope, he said that Divine Mercy Sunday would be the Sunday after Easter, the resurrection of the body, and now we talk about the mercy of the Lord and how Jesus wants us to forgive. Because what we're trying to do with inner healing is not allow Satan to go into our weakness. Satan has a, what it says in this particular book that I have from Father DeGrandis, is Satan has a card file on all our weak spots or sore spots, our failures, our embarrassments, and our fears. Satan is the one who keeps reminding us that we cannot forgive someone who hurts us. Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar. So once you get that, that's sometimes the thoughts we have, you know, you need to do this to that person, or you need to do that, or you can't go on the plane, mm-hmm. or you shouldn't go on the roller coaster, you know, or you don't go to therapy because that's shameful. We need to, those are lies. They're lies. And Satan is the father of all lies. So the more we can get into forgiveness, the more we can forgive those who sin against you, the more you will be forgiven, and that will bring the mercy of God upon us. The more merciful we feel, the more mercy we receive from the Lord, and the easier it is for us to trust Him. Now, trust is built on nature. Some people have had good experiences with trust based upon who their parents are, what their circumstances are. Nobody's had 100%. That's for sure. I can tell you that because we're human. But other people haven't had good experiences because they've had it tough. They've had it tough. So for them to go to the trusting place is a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing.
Thanks for reminding us. You know, sometimes we see it only from our point of view, and we don't realize that maybe others have had it harder than us, or multiple people maybe have hurt them and they have more, I guess, stuff. But we all have stuff. But
correct.
We all have stuff.
But some people, as we all know, you know, we have a tendency to look at people whose lives might look on the outside a lot better than ours. But there are people whose lives are mm-hmm. really very, very painful lives. And yet Jesus loves them. He wants to bring them closer to His heart. He wants to use us to be His hands, His eyes, His ears, His mouth to others.
And reach out to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When we don't see, like what you said, but God knows, so we reach out to them. I also wanted to mention, I really when you mentioned Saint Joseph before, that mm-hmm. really touched me. When you said, imagine it from his point of view with Mary, that mm-hmm. he really is a great example of trust. How you put it in mm-hmm. that way,
absolutely.
It really just kind of. Because when you put yourself in his circumstance, he had to face maybe other people, maybe their thoughts or what they said.
Yeah, the gossip.
The gossip.
The scandal.
Yeah, and he probably struggled with doubts himself about Mary and the situation, but he doesn't really even talk in the Bible, and you just see this example, and thank you for sharing that. That just made me think, like, wow, you know, sometimes we gotta imagine it, like, if I were that person, and just kind of their mm-hmm. whole situation,
right,
and it helps you to think and I guess connect mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. people in the Bible, but just in your own life, you know. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I'm being called to tell you this one story. I don't know why, but I'm being asked to say it. And I know we only have a few minutes. So when I was young, I was very young, 9 years old. My parents were really struggling with money, so I prayed the rosary over and over again that we could win this car. This car was being raffled off by the church that I was going to, this Catholic mm-hmm. school I was going to. Mm-hmm. So we bought raffles, but I also sold raffles. You know how you said, you're not into selling raffles and stuff like that. But in my era, many years ago, you sold raffles. And so I sold raffles and...
To help the church?
Yeah, you sell the raffle so that the car could be then given to someone. Because
okay.
they won the car through mm-hmm. the raffle. Mm-hmm. And the church would then get the money, the school. So I sold the raffle, and I sold it to the people next door who were a couple that were, like retired. They had no need for money. They had two cars, beautiful cars and everything else. And it was this blue Galaxy, Ford Galaxy. You know who won the car? The people next door who had no need for it, and I probably sold them the raffle. I did sell them the raffle. So, okay.
5 minutes? Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
So, I had to make sense out of that, because sometimes when we pray and pray and pray, we think God's going to answer that prayer the way we want it to be answered. And really, the lesson was that God answered it the way he thought it should be answered. The car would not have helped my family. Mm-hmm. But I thought it would. You know, it's like praying for a bicycle and you think it's going to help you. Well, maybe it wouldn't have. God only knows what would have happened if we won that car. Mm-hmm. But it took a long time for me to understand that the Lord doesn't want you attached to these things, but just to trust his will. To trust his will.
Mm, which is tough. That's a great story. Yeah, because I guess God knew what was best for your family, and maybe it wasn't the money. Maybe
it wasn't the car.
It wasn't the car.
And maybe the people next door. I didn't think they needed the car, but maybe they needed to win the car.
Maybe it'll help. I don't know. Maybe their belief somehow. I don't know. But yeah, we don't know. We don't know. Great. I have to reflect on that. That's I'm going to be thinking about that. That's great. How about you guys? Do you want to share or bounce off anything? I know we're wrapping up here. Anything that touched you, anything that you really learned or liked from today?
No, I mean, even for me, I have, you know, a lot of fears, a lot of anxiety. So, you know, I'm trying to work on having a better perspective and, you know, definitely grow closer with, you know, trusting Jesus, trusting the Lord. And I think for me, that's still something that I personally struggle with still.
I think we struggle with it till the day we die.
Right, right. Yeah.
It's just different degrees, Marissa.
Right. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's something that I just need to focus more on and, you know, not let my, you know, my thoughts just, because I have so many thoughts throughout mm-hmm. the day, mm-hmm. you know, it's just mm-hmm. an ending cycle. So I'm trying to work on, you know, being more in the moment. And mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And I agree with what Megan just said. You know, always, and what you guys both said the whole show, is putting your trust in Jesus. And it's something I truly believe in, because Jesus has a plan for us, for all of us, mm-hmm. and he'll never, ever, like I've said before, lead you down the wrong path. He's always going to lead you down the right path. And my dad has always told me, you know, when one door closes, another one opens. And that's just Jesus' way of saying, hey, that wasn't for you. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I have a new plan for you.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting. And you never know what door is going to be open.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, amen. And I just want to say thank you to Brian, Megan, and Carol for your time today, for your insight. And it was just so blessed. And, we're going to be ending here, but thank you so much, listeners, for listening today and for joining us. And please tune in next week to our show at 10 a.m. on the radio dial 1240 a.m. or 95.9 FM. And that's it, I guess. Did you want to mention anything, Carol? Or
come to Living Waters. Come to the water.
Come to the water. Yeah, come to the fountain, Jesus. And amen. So God bless you and have a great weekend.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Our Father who art in heaven, holy, holy, holy be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth, thy will be done on earth. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Give us this day our daily bread.